Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
This is like, everyone's over here. So if I don't look over here, I'm so sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I'll pay attention to all of you. Well, welcome to the gathering of Everyday Church. I'm super thankful that you guys are here. I'm excited that you guys are here. It's good to see all of your faces. I'm glad you decided to join us this morning. If you're with us online, hello, welcome. If you're checking out our podcast or on Facebook later, thanks for tuning in. Real quick, just look around. Look at the people next to you, beside you, in front of you, behind you. Wave at them. Tell them good morning. Tell them one cool thing that happened to you this week. Ready? Go. All right, cool. I'm glad you guys had something cool that happened to you this week. Hopefully you had something like cool happen to you this week. Maybe it was you actually got to take a nap this week. Maybe it was the dog didn't poop in the house. Like, whatever. It might be like a good week, you know? I'm really excited for this morning. We're going to dive right in and get started. And here's the deal. I'm really excited about this morning, and here's why. This morning we get to talk about something that is really important, something that is super special to me, and that's worship. We get to talk about worship this morning, and it's going to be super fun. If you know me, you know that I love to worship, specifically through music. I grew up singing in the church, grew up playing the drums, and then when I got to college, continued that as I played in a band. We traveled all over the state of Oklahoma, playing at different events, things like that. I'll never forget the first time that our band called Hope Collective, we had a relatively big gig coming up. We had played in a few class chapels. We had played at a few smaller churches. And I'll never forget, we got invited to play this event in Shawnee called Canterbury. And this is just a night of worship put on by OBU students for the city of Shawnee. And so we're getting set up, right? I'm super excited. I'm super nervous, right? But we get set up, and then there's hundreds of people there worshiping, and it's just super cool, super awesome. And as we start playing, as we start getting into it, really all the nerves and just all the distractions kind of faded away, right? And I'm with hundreds of my friends and peers and just people of the city of Shawnee, and we're worshiping the Lord. And they're not just worshiping like singing, you know, just standing there. Like their hands are lifted, eyes are closed, crying out to the Lord. Some people are on their knees, people are crying. They're screaming at the top of their lungs praises to the King. And it was literally like a glimpse of heaven. And as we're worshiping, man, I just remember this incredible feeling of, oh my gosh, this is awesome, this is cool. And then I broke a stick, and instead of it just like breaking and just kind of like flying off to the side, no, it broke and it flew forward. So like my stick went off the stage, and immediately all those nerves came back, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And it was like, God was like, grab another stick. And so I grabbed my other stick, and I keep playing, but it was funny. No, I don't think anyone noticed because no one said anything afterwards. And that was the only time, thankfully, that that's happened so far. But why I tell that story and why I talk about that night is because what I said earlier, it was like a glimpse of heaven. That's why I love worship. That's why I love going to places like Falls Creek, when you get to just worship with thousands of people, you know, singing and crying out to the Lord. Worship in its true form is our hearts crying out to the Father, saying, it's all about you. God, it's about you. Nothing else matters. Nothing of this world matters. It's about you. So I'm excited to dive into this message today to talk a little bit about worship. If you've been with us the last few weeks, or if you've been following us online, you'll know that we've been in a series going over Shaped, talking about what a Christian looks like, but more importantly, what a Christian does, how a Christian lives. We started off talking about how a Christian studies the Word of God. They read their Bible. They spend time in the Word. Then we talked about how a Christian hangs with other believers. We hang out like we are today. We hang out with brothers and sisters in Christ. We go to e-groups. We do things like that. We hang out with other believers. Then we talked about how a Christian abides in the Lord. We rest in the Lord through Word and through prayer. We abide with Him. And then last week we talked about what? Provides. Thank you. We talked about providing the needs for others. We talked about how Jesus provided and still does provide for needs, and we talked about how we should do the same thing. And this week, we get to talk about the letter E, and that is a believer, a follower of Jesus, exalts the name of the Lord. Exalts the name of the Lord. And another word for exalting or exaltation is worship. So today we're going to talk about why God is worthy of worship, why he is worthy to be exalted. So hang with me today. I know we're doing things a little bit differently. I know this isn't usually what we would do, like one song and then me. But we're gonna switch things up. We're going to end with worship. We're gonna close with some songs, and here's why. I want us to leave here so incredibly focused on worshiping God, worshiping the God of the universe, that listen, as we go throughout the week, as we leave this place, the echoes of our praises ring into your home, into your workplace, into every street in this city. That we leave this place so incredibly fixed on worshiping the God of the universe. Because he's worthy. He's worthy to be exalted. And we're going to see today that when we worship, when we exalt Jesus, when we lift him high, we proclaim to the world that he is good, that he's worthy, that no matter what life throws at us, we have a firm foundation in Jesus. So that's kind of where we're going to go today. If you have a copy of God's word, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, or if you have Bible app, go ahead and jump on there. 1 Peter chapter 1. But if you don't have it, it's okay. We'll have it up on the screen. But like I always do before I get into the word, we want to set up ourselves for success. And so we want to do that by getting the context of the passage that we're going to be in. We don't just want to pick and choose a Bible verse to use to make it say whatever we want. Remember, it's always important to understand the context of the text that we're reading. So let's set ourselves up. 1 Peter chapter 1, what is going on? We're going to start in verse 3 and read verse 4. So there's not a whole lot to get from 1 Peter considering we're not even that far in. So here's what's going on. This is a letter by who? Anyone want to take a guess who this letter is by? Peter, man, good job. You guys are great. So this is a letter by Peter. Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's writing to Christians, to believers who are living as foreigners, and I'm going to try to say these names, right? In the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is north of Asia Minor. If you want to picture where that would be at today, that's modern-day Turkey. So if you look at a map, modern-day Turkey, this is where the people were that Peter was writing to, the Christians living in that area. So the theme of 1 Peter, if you were to continue to read through 1 Peter, the theme of 1 Peter is perseverance through persecution and a fixation of eyes on God who will redeem and restore all things. So Peter is reminding the believers of their hope in God for salvation because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So there's Christians that are living in this region and they're being persecuted for their faith. And Peter writes a letter to them and he tells them to persevere. He tells them to keep going. He tells them to keep on keeping on, to keep going, keep chasing after Jesus because they have salvation. And we're going to get into that a little more as we dive into our text. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, so let's read. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of any change or decay. So Peter's writing to Christians who are under persecution, who are being beaten, imprisoned, and even murdered for their trust in Jesus. And what does he tell them to do? Praise. He tells them, in the midst of your persecution, in the midst of what you're going through, praise. Praise the Father because of what? His great mercy. And I don't know about you, but I think that would be pretty difficult to hear, right? So I'm an Oklahoma State fan. I'm actually the only person in my family to not graduate from Oklahoma State University. But here's the deal. When it's football season and we play the University of Oklahoma and we get trashed, the last thing that I want to do is go hang around people like Chad in my orange and black and say, man, Oklahoma State's just such a great university. I love you, Chad. Like, I don't go around and say, you woo, go Pokes. Like, yeah, we're great. When we just got, you know, stomped by OU, the last thing I want to go do is hang around my friends who are OU fans and be like, man, go Pokes. I love OSU. Now, the last thing that I want to do is take me and my little Pistol Pete and go in the closet and hide and never come out, right? Like, that's what I want to do. So I can't imagine what it feels like what they must have felt when there was this persecution, when they were being beaten, thrown in jail, even murdered for their faith. And Peter writes to them and he says, praise God. Keep doing that. Keep praising the Father. Keep loving Jesus. Keep doing what you're doing. Peter is saying, praise belongs to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's why. So if you're taking notes, this is going to be super fun. If you're taking notes, point number one that we want to talk about today, why is God worthy of our worship? Why does Peter keep telling them to praise, to keep on keeping on? Here's why. Point number one, he's the God who justifies. He's the God who justifies. Verse 3 says, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus earlier tells us in John chapter 3 that we have to be born again. And the question that follows that is, what? Right? He's like, how is that possible? How am I born again? What does that even mean? Jesus, what are you saying? It means that this old life has to die. The sin and the shame are buried, and we rise to a new life with Christ. Does that sound kind of familiar? Right? Think about baptism for a second. Like when we baptize someone, we just got to baptize some friends not that long ago, right? When we think about baptism, right? Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, that's a picture of what has actually happened, right? When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the old life is gone, and we have a new life in Christ. So the sin and the guilt and the shame that once had a hold of me isn't my life anymore. My life is now in Jesus. My life is now in Jesus. That's why we say raised to walk in newness of life, not because you're like, you change when it's like you go in the water with brown hair and you come up with blonde hair. No, like that doesn't happen. It's not like that. But it's like you have a new life. Like the sin and the guilt and the shame that once held you doesn't hold you anymore. He's the one who gives us new life. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he justifies us. That means he gives us a new life. Those who belong to Jesus have been given a new life, and the new life that you have been given, listen, the new life that you have been given has nothing to do with anything that you have done. Has nothing to do with anything that you have done, but it has everything to do with what Jesus has done. Nothing to do with what you have done, but has everything to do with what Jesus has done. And that's why we exalt him. That's why we worship him. That's why we praise him, because you don't save yourself. Jesus saves. That's why he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy to be exalted. One, because he's the God who justifies. Point number two, he's the God who sanctifies. So he's the God who justifies, and he's the God who sanctifies. Again, in verse 3 and then into the beginning of verse 4, it says, now, because he has saved us, we live with this great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. So what are we expecting? A priceless inheritance, right? What are we expecting? A priceless inheritance. Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I can be sons, we can be daughters of the Most High King. And what's this inheritance? It's eternal life with the Father. What do we get? We get to go to heaven with Jesus. We spend eternity with Jesus. So we live in this expectation that one day we get to spend eternity with the Father. Okay, so we know what our inheritance is. We know that we're supposed to live in this expectation. How do we do that? How do we live in this expectation? Do we just sit around singing Kumbaya? No, that's not what we do. Although there are times where we gather collectively and sing, right? We live in expectation by becoming more and more like Jesus as we wait for him to return once and for all, making all things new. Making all things new. We live in this expectation by serving. We live in this expectation by loving. We live in this expectation by giving and by chasing Jesus with everything that we have. And honestly, words are hard. Honestly, this expecting is more like a longing. We're longing for Jesus to come. We're longing to be with God. Look, worship isn't always happy. Worship isn't always like, woo, things are great. Shane and Shane, if you listen to Shane and Shane, they have a psalm album. And one of their songs on the psalm album, it's got a line and it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me?" All right, so when we worship, it's not always like, man, my life is great. We worship when we say, like, Jesus, come back. Jesus, come soon. Come make all things new. Because there's death, there's pain, and a lot of times our lives can be trash. But when that happens, we run to the Father and we say, Jesus, come soon. That's what worship can look like too. What's cool about sanctification, and the word sanctification just means being made more like Jesus, being made into the image of God. What's cool about sanctification is that the closer we get to the Father, the closer that you and I get to the Father, the more we realize how worthy he is of our worship. So much so that we get to the point of praising him in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our persecution. And how cool is that, right? How cool is that to get to the place to say, like, no matter what life throws at you, right, whether your life is going really good or whether your life is trash, you can get to the place where it's like, I don't care what the world throws at me. My hope's not in this world. My hope's in Jesus. And like, how cool is that, that we can say, like, no matter what happens, even if I am to die, praise be to God. Right, and there's a lot of times, I'll be honest, I don't have that mindset. Like, when something goes wrong, I don't just want to run to God and be like, God, I praise you, I worship you. Like, when things go wrong, I just like, what is happening? What's going on? But even in the midst of all of the mess, he's worthy. And he's worthy because he doesn't leave us. Sanctification is not something that we do on our own. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, what does he gives us his what? Holy Spirit. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And it's that Holy Spirit inside of us that draws us to the Father, that gives us the desire to be more like Jesus. What's really cool is that when we give our life to God, he doesn't just say, like, cool, thanks, you're hashtag team Jesus. Now you go do what you want to. He walks with us. He walks in front of us. He walks behind us. He walks beside us. And he doesn't leave. And like that's really cool. Like, God just doesn't leave us on our own. And I don't know about you, I'm hashtag grateful that God just doesn't leave me by myself. Because if you know me, you know that wouldn't go very well. Just ask my wife. He's worthy because he doesn't just leave us in our filth. He picks us up, he cleans us off, and he pushes us in the right direction. Right, the Holy Spirit, like when I'm running towards sin, the Holy Spirit says, hey, homie, don't do that. Go this way. Right? He doesn't just leave us. Right? God is worthy of our worship. He's worthy to be exalted because he's with us in our mess. He walks with us and he makes us more like Jesus. He's worthy because he doesn't leave us. So he's the God who justifies. He's the God who sanctifies. And point number three, he's the God who glorifies. Let's look at verse 4. This priceless inheritance is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, believers, for you. Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Our hope in heaven is this, that we will, not we might, we will be with the Father, where there will be no more sin, there will be no more disease, there will be no more shame or guilt, and there will be no more death. There will be no more death. Our inheritance is a perfect relationship with the Father where all things have been made new, where it is as it's supposed to be, as he set it up in the garden at the very beginning. He didn't just set up Adam and Eve and then just watch. What was God doing in the garden with Adam and Eve? He walked with them. He was there with them. They had an intimate relationship with their Father, and that's what we have to look forward to. Like, we get to have that perfect relationship with the Father, and this is why we wait. This is why we endure. And this is what Peter is telling us. He says, the end is worth it. Jesus is worth it. We exalt the Father because of what is to come. Think about this for a second with me. Those of you who have put your faith and trust in Jesus, God has prepared a place for you. Like, how mind-blowing is that? And despite our filth, despite our shame and our sin, he just says, I love you. You're mine. You belong to me. I've prepared a place for you. He has invited us in to his dwelling. He has invited us in to have a relationship with him. And he didn't have to do it. He had every right to just, no more, after Adam and Eve sinned. And when we sin, he has every single right to just say, nope. But that's not who he is, right? Why? Because of his great mercy and because of the great love that he has for us. It blows my mind that he looks at me and he says, yep, you're mine. You belong to me. We praise God. We exalt God. We worship God because of what he has done and because of what is to come. We know that one day COVID won't be a thing. We know that one day abuse won't be a thing. We know that one day death will just be a memory. And like, that's why he's worthy of our worship. Heaven isn't about getting to see grandma and grandpa. It's not about the streets of gold. It's about Jesus. It's about seeing and being with the Father. There's a song that we sang at Falls Creek one year, and I love it. I sing this song. It's catchy, so I still sing it every now and then. But there's a line, and it says, there's a home beyond the sky, a song that we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty. I am free because Jesus rescued me. And when I think about that, when I think that Jesus has rescued me from my sin, from my shame, he's rescued us from our sin, our shame, the only thing really that I can think of is praise be to God. Praise be to the Father. Because you don't save yourselves. I don't save myself. We can't do anything. Scripture tells us that we're dead in our sin. Dead people don't do things. They're just dead. It's Jesus. It's God who saves. And it's God who has prepared a place. We don't go and prepare our own place. God does that. We didn't defeat sin. We didn't defeat death. Jesus did. So we see that God is incredibly worthy of our worship because of what he's done. He's the God who justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies. But the question that we're left with now is, what do we do? What do we do? And sure, we exalt Jesus. We worship Jesus. How do we do that? There's a lot of different ways that we can do that. There's a lot of different ways that we can worship. There's a lot of different ways that we can exalt Jesus. But I'm going to give you three steps, and these aren't like written in stone. Like, if you don't do these, then you aren't doing it right. These are just suggestions, I guess you could say. But I was listening to a sermon by Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler is the lead pastor, the lead guy for the Village Church in Texas, I think in Dallas. And I was watching a sermon that he wrote and gave, and he was talking about in the book of Revelation when John sees the throne that's surrounded by other thrones and surrounded by different creatures and the multitudes of the universe, like they're just bowing down, they're worshiping Jesus, crying out to the Father. And it's a really cool sermon. I suggest you go watch it, Matt Chandler. It's his sermon over worship. It's really good. But he had some points that I think are really good, so I'm going to use those. So point number one, how do we worship? How do we worship God? Point number one, move your throne. Move your throne. We have become so comfortable with being in charge. We have become so comfortable running the show for ourselves. We set ourselves up as king. We set ourselves up as queen. We live life how we want to live. We try to dictate what is best for us. We say, this is right, this is wrong, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. And man, sometimes we even look at Scripture and we try to dictate what Scripture means for us. We set up our own thrones when in reality, we're not king. We're not in charge. But we set up our own thrones and we live this life like we're in charge. But what do we do when it all goes wrong? What do we do when that little kingdom that we live in turns to trash? We run to placebos. And here's what I mean by that. We run to money to find our comfort. We run to pornography to fulfill our satisfaction. We run to alcohol and drugs to numb the pain. We run to this, we run to that, and this is what's happening. We run to it, it fails us, so we freak out. So we run to it, it fails us, so we freak out. And then we run to it, it fails us. And it's just this constant back and forth. The whole time, Jesus is standing there saying, stop running to that, run to me, I'm right here. You run to me and you'll never have to look for something else to satisfy you. You'll never have to look for something else to bring you comfort. You'll never have to look for something else to take away the pain. Look, Jesus is saying, I take away the pain. I am your comfort. I am your satisfaction. It's me. Run to me as your king, and you'll never have to go anywhere else because Jesus says, I'm enough. We have to move our throne out of the way. He's king. You're not king. I'm not king. We have to move our throne. Throw them away. And after we move our throne, that leads us to step number two. So step number one, move your throne. Step number two, fix your gaze. Fix your gaze. When we move our thrones out of the way, where do we look? We have to look to Jesus. Well, how do we keep our focus on Jesus? Worship. Through worship. One of the best things that you and I can do to fight the enemy is to sing praises and to live worshipful lives, to live lives that are fixed on Jesus. We don't need to look to other things to lead us. We don't need to look to other things to satisfy us or to fulfill us or to give us hope. We look to Jesus for those things. We look to Jesus for our hope. So we have to look to Jesus, fix our gaze, and one of the ways that we do that is by living worshipful lives, living lives that are focused on King Jesus, not on ourselves. So you move your throne, you fix your gaze, and then when we do that, what do? Step number three is exalt your king. Exalt your king. Once we're out of the way and once our gaze is fixed, then all we have left to do is worship. All we have left to do is worship. But listen, we talk about this a lot, and you'll hear John say this a lot. We don't want to just be a people who talk about it. We want to be someone who does, right? We don't just want to talk about it. We want to be about it, right? We want to be about it. We want to worship Jesus all day, every day. This is done through singing. Yes, 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 yes. Sing. Sing praises to the Lord. There's so many places in Scripture where you see people singing. You see people crying out to the Lord with musical instruments. And if you're like real Southern Baptist, hold on. They even dance, right? So they sing, you dance, you play instruments, you shout to the Lord, you praise, you worship. Look, I don't care if you have the worst voice ever. Right? One of my favorite things is to just, it's not about the voice. It's about like singing out to the Father. It's about worshiping God. So yes, we want to sing, and we're about to. Y'all, we're about to stand and sing here in a little bit, and I am just pumped because I want you guys to just let everything aside. I don't care if you don't have a good voice, and if you're focused on the voice, you're not focusing on the King. So it's not about the voice. It's about singing, and we're going to do that here in a little bit, and it's going to be dope. It's going to be awesome. So yes, sing. But we also worship God by the way that we live our lives. Check it out. You love God, you worship God by the way that you love your spouse, by the way that you love your husband, by the way that you love your wife. You worship God by the way you treat your kids. You worship God by the way that you do your job. You worship God with how you treat your neighbors, how you treat the people you see in Walmart, how you treat the little lady who just cut you off on the interstate. That one's hard for me. I'm not gonna lie. We worship God with how we live our lives. And we should. We should worship God with our lives. Why? He's worthy. He's worthy of it. And when we exalt him, like I said before, when we exalt God, when we worship God, we're letting the whole world around us know that my hope is in Jesus. My trust is in Jesus. This world can shake. This world can go to trash. It doesn't matter. My hope is in Jesus. And he is a firm foundation. He is a rock that will never move. And you can take that to the bank. We worship because he's so incredibly worthy. And look, if you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something else. We all worship. Every single human being on the face of the earth worships something. Even the atheist, even the agnostic, they worship something. And if King Jesus isn't on the throne, something else is. Someone else is. And it can even be a good thing. It can be your family. It can be a relationship. It can be your job. Those aren't bad things. A family is a gift, right? You've been given a job. Like, okay, you have a job. That's a gift. But worship is whatever we give our attention to, whatever we give our full selves to. So are you giving yourself to God? Is your whole life focused on God, on Jesus, on his will, his way, his word? Or are you setting up your own kingdom? Only God can save. Only God can sanctify. Only God can glorify. So he is the one who's worthy of our worship. He is the one who's worthy of our praise. Like I said, we all worship something. What are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? And look, if something else is on the throne, if someone else is on the throne, we need to repent. We need to cry out to the Father. We need to run to the Father. And what's really cool is that we serve a good and gracious God who's faithful and just to forgive. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful that we serve a God who doesn't just give up when we fall short. And that's all the more reason for us to worship. All the more reason for us to exalt him, to lift him high. So here's what we're going to do. I don't know where your life is at. I don't know what's going on in your life. I hope things are great. I hope things are going well. But if not, run to the Father. Right, we fight the enemy with the praises that we sing. So I'm going to invite Isaac and Aaron and Jonathan to come on up. And as we prepare to go into this time of worship, man, here's what I want you to do. If someone else is on the throne, repent. Turn away from that. Confess. Like, when we confess our sins, God's not like, oh, you're gross, go away. Like, when we confess our sins, right, he's faithful and just to forgive. So confess to the Lord. Say, God, there's been something else that I've been worshiping. I've been worshiping my family. I've been worshiping money. I've been worshiping this. I've been running to other things to satisfy me. I've been running to other places. I've been running to other people to find my hope, to find my worth, to find my value. Repent. And man, if you have been worshiping the Father, and praise be to God, keep doing that. We're about to sing. We're about to stand and sing. And I just want you to sing with all that you have. I don't care if you don't have a great voice. And if there's other people judging you for their voice, they ain't focusing on worshiping King Jesus. So don't worry about that. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to lead us in a time of prayer and a time of repentance. May you do business with God right now. Maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. For real, for real. Maybe you've never trusted in Jesus as king. Something else has always had the throne. Man, today, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day that you let go of it all. Maybe you're holding on to these fears. Maybe you're holding on to these anxieties. Maybe you're holding on to this or that. Whatever you're holding on to that's taking place of King Jesus, man, let it go. And fix your eyes on Jesus. I want you to take some time to pray. I want you to take some time to run to the Father right now. Father, we love you. God, we praise you for who you are. God, we know that you're here. We know that you're real. We know that you're with us. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our lives. So God, we confess that there are other things that we run to. God, we confess that we run to other things to satisfy us. We confess that we run to other things to fulfill us. But this whole time you're saying, look to me, put your trust in me. So God, we confess that we fall short. God, we confess that we don't get it right. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, God, that they would turn to you and worship with everything that they have. Not just through song, but as they leave this place, God, may the echoes of our praises ring throughout the city. God, we pray that you would use us, that as we worship, the world would know that King Jesus sits on the throne, that he has defeated sin, that he has defeated death, and one day, all of the pain, the suffering, and the chaos will just be a memory. So God, we give you this time. Lord, would you invade this space? God, would you just come in and do what only you can do? God, may we use this time now to worship you with everything that we have. Not to be focused on the things around us, not to be focused on whether or not we have a good voice. But God, that we would just know that you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy to be exalted. So God, we pray that you would be exalted in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.